following program was pre-recorded. To ask a question on the air, call 1-800-229-3000 Monday through Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific. Welcome to New Life Live, the premier place to receive free advice from Christian psychologists and counselors for the mental, emotional, relational, and spiritual challenges you face. Since 1988, we've offered compassionate responses that combine God's truth with proven psychological principles to guide you toward healing. Our phone lines are open. Call us now at 1-800-229-3000.
Howdy, neighbor. It's Brian Perez, and this is New Life Live. This is the radio show and podcast where you learn how to love your neighbor, anyone God puts in your path. Here to help, we've got licensed marriage and family therapist J.J. West and clinical psychologist Dr. Jill Hubbard. Hi, J.J. Are you ready for this weekend's Everyman's Battle Intensive in D.C.?
I am so excited. Can't wait. Yes, I'm ready.
Awesome.
And great to be on today.
Yes, and indeed. Dr. Jill, hello to you. What's on your
mind? Hello, guys. Good to be with you again.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I think I'm going to talk about the goodness of generosity. Okay, it's that time of year again where we kind of expand our generosity and, you know, come to find out it's actually really good for us. But I do know, like we hear, you know, when you hear your pastor talk about generosity, it's like, oh no, I'm going to be hit up to give money, right? Or, you know, when my kid at Thanksgiving wanted to add six more people to already a bursting crowd of family.
Are you speaking from experience?
Yeah, I had to curb his enthusiasm a bit, right? It's always easy to be generous with other people's things, right? But here's the thing, generosity builds resiliency. And that was a new one for me. And I think, you know, 20 plus years of being a single mom, I love the idea of generosity, wasn't always practical. And so I have struggled with that over the years in wanting to be a more generous person. Mm-hmm. But when we look at generosity, we're not just talking about our pocketbook. And sometimes people will say, well, I can't because I don't have the money. Okay. Well, beyond money, the types of generosity are our thoughts, our words, our time, our attention, our influence, our belongings, and then gifts, and then maybe also money, right? So there's all kinds of ways to be generous. And so, you know, so that's something that, that I pray about. But this idea of resiliency going along with generosity, that does give something back to us. And normally we think of resiliency like, I got through something really hard, now I know I can do it, or focusing on self-care, you know, building ourselves up, building up community, doing all those things that help us to be more resilient. But I think in order to be generous, you do have to be in a healthy place, right? And when I talk about resilience, I'm talking about healthy adaptability. So if we're in a place of more of healthier adaptability, then we can give. And this is not giving from a place of codependency or people pleasing or trying to earn something, some kind of performance, but it's from a place of, no, I'm able to share. You know, because I'm trusting the Lord that there is plenty, right? And that He will meet my needs. And so, and also too, when we're generous, I was reading up a little bit on it, it becomes kind of the social glue that connects us. Like when we give to someone, even if you, you know, hand them a cookie or something, right? It elicits in the other person also the idea of being kind and being generous. And so it's kind of contagious, which I think is a wonderful thing. And also we have to remember that, I mean, there's some physical things that it does for us, but it makes us more like Jesus. It draws us closer to Him. It's kind of the antidote to materialism. When we hold things loosely, it's giving strengthens our faith. And it actually blesses us in return.
Yeah.
So it's the time of year to give.
Yep. Especially cookies. Don't be stingy with your cookies. We love receiving cookies.
I love cookies.
Yes.
Good to know. All right.
Yeah. That'll be an easy gift to buy, right?
Yeah. There we go.
All right. We're going to go to the phones in just a little bit. Joe in Albany, New York. You're going to be our first caller when we come back here on New Life Live. Thanks so much for listening today and for watching as well.
Are you ready for the holidays or are you dreading the holidays? Well, we have a new webinar and it's called Healthy Holiday Boundaries. The holiday season often brings joy, but it also can bring pressure, guilt, and emotional overwhelm. Healthy Holiday Boundaries is a 90-minute faith-based webinar. You'll learn how to protect your peace, manage expectations, and set healthy limits without guilt. Whether you're facing family tensions, an overcommitted schedule, or emotional fatigue, this webinar will help you reclaim calm and connection. This isn't just information. It's an invitation.
The Healthy Holidays Boundaries webinar is Wednesday evening, December 10th. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or go online to newlife.com. Experience the freedom Christ offers and discover how to give your best yes and your healthiest no this holiday season. 1-800-639-5433. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
As promised, here's Joe in Albany, New York, who's listening on Sirius XM channel 131. Hey there, Joe. How can we help you today? Thanks for calling in.
Yes, thank you. I have a dilemma that I'm looking to talk to get some understanding about. My girlfriend of 5+ years has prayed the prayer and welcomed Jesus into her heart. However, she is a diagnosed covert narcissist. And the issue, if you understand narcissism, is generally characterized by a lack of empathy, always trying to position for self-edification, not necessarily a heart of giving. And so one of the foundations of our relationship with Jesus is a repentant heart. And as I have tried to talk with her through all of these things, any sort of criticism or comment to her has her react very strongly back against it. And she will either gaslight or push it back. I mean, I've done quite a bit of reading about this. When I look online, can a covert narcissist become a Christian? The answers online are yes, but a covert narcissist needs to repent. Well, covert narcissism is a diagnosis that says by professionals that it can never be cured. I guess the question is, if a person has a psychological limitation that are against some of the foundations of our relationship with Jesus, where does that put them in the spectrum of being saved, first of all, and second of all, what can I possibly do to help the situation?
Jill?
So, Joe, who was she diagnosed by?
She's been seeing a clinical psychologist for about, I would guess, 15 years.
Okay, and she was diagnosed by that person, her therapist?
Correct.
And she shared it with you?
Yes, she also has anxiety and depression that is manifested evidently from part of that, too. I guess it's not unusual to have a cornucopia of different ailments with that.
Right.
Yes, she said that her anxiety, and so I cannot criticize, comment, or suggest anything, nor can anybody else, frankly.
Mm-hmm. Right. So it sounds like your girlfriend is in a lot of pain. She's highly sensitive, has a huge fear of criticism. Right. So in this diagnosis, it also, we know that and a lot of what you read on the Internet, we don't want to take everything from that. But she is in treatment.
Right.
So we'll go with that. But narcissism is on a continuum. And, 10% of the population may have a full blown personality disorder. And so the farther down you go on the continuum, you've got malignant narcissism and it moves into sociopathy, right? So at the far end, those people, don't usually change. I mean, we know nothing's impossible with God.
And don't show up for counseling either.
But they don't show up for counseling. And they certainly would not come home I'm a covert narcissist, right?
Well, that occurred during a series of basically arguments where I was trying to talk with her about some of the foundational components of our relationship with Jesus and how, what are some of the, and I try to frame it in an open way. I say these are some of the struggles that I'm looking to overcome, some of my challenges to basically repent.
Mm-hmm.
And there was no self-disclosing there at all.
Okay.
As far as that goes. And when I ask her about it, she just simply pulls back and says, well, no, I'm not, or basically doesn't talk to me or something like that. I'm just concerned for her with this.
Mm-hmm.
So are you saying you were sharing with her your struggles with your own faith, and not your struggles with your faith, but the practice of your faith, that you were sharing with her some of your struggles with sin that you're working to repent of, and then she wouldn't share anything she was working on? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, that's right.
Okay.
Just to give a little background, she was abused up until about the age of 15, emotionally, psychologically, by her family. So I think that it was a carryover of that. And she's and I've even talked to her close girlfriends, and they said this is something that she has demonstrated all of her life. But where does that have her stand in relationship to Jesus and repenting and changing your heart and things along those lines? And that's the second question is, how can I help this?
Mm. Yeah. So I'll try and tackle the first question. I'll leave Jill to tackle the second question of what can you do. So where does it leave her standing with Jesus? Well, there's nowhere in Scripture that says there's any psychological issue or personality disorder that prevents us from being believers, prevents us from acknowledging that Jesus' perfect life, death on the cross, and resurrection secure for us our salvation. Okay, if she believes in her heart that Jesus raised her from the dead, and she confesses with her mouth that he is her Lord, then she is a follower of Jesus. Okay, now, that doesn't mean that there are not complications to how I live that out. We're all called to repent.
Right.
You're absolutely right. Absolutely, in Scripture, we're called to repent. We're called to turn over our lives to Jesus, to his control. Is that going to be harder for someone who is on the continuum of a personality disorder like narcissism? Yes, that will be harder.
Mm.
Is it harder for people who grew up in addiction? Yes, it's harder. There are certainly categories where it's harder to do that. And what we see over and over is repentance is, it's both a change in behavior as well as a call to change the way we think. It is not a call to change the way we feel. Okay, so for instance, empathy. Empathy is really difficult for someone who has narcissistic tendency. But does that mean that they cannot repent? It means that they have to practice empathy even if they don't feel empathy. Mm. Okay? Go ahead.
But that requires her to have a self-awareness that she's in a state of a lack of empathy or that she's in a deprived state. And that is not a position that she can get herself to while she is, I think, dealing with this incredible self-centeredness with narcissism.
Joe, I think your girlfriend is, I mean, that she's seen somebody, so she's in, like, on her journey. I think what you're asking of her is farther along than she's at. That would definitely be the goal. One, to be able to at least do the actions of empathy and then be able to repent and to own that. But first of all, you're calling her a covert narcissist. So this is a survival. Often people who are in relationship with narcissists become the covert narcissist. Okay, the term was originally coined, I believe, by James Masterson. So you might want to read some of his original work. But that her lack of empathy is fear-based. You said she was abused until the age of 15 by her family. So the people who were supposed to love and care for her the most were the most unsafe people. Mm-hmm. And so she had to subvert her emotion, her care. for those other people and try to survive. So this is a long journey that she is on. I don't know if you want to go the distance with her because there's no guarantee for the outcome. But she is in a long journey, and so you can pray, you can realize where she's at, and you could be a consistent, safe person for her. But that's also a very sacrificial position because being on the end of that, a lot of times spouses of people that are on the autistic spectrum who can't give, you know, it kind of mimics some narcissism in that they don't always have the exact feelings that we all have. It can be very lonely. So you may be setting yourself up for a lonely relationship.
I was going to say, when you said go the distance, you're talking like marriage or, I mean, they've been together for 5 years, I think.
I know, so, it's a long time. And so you have to decide, right? But I don't think you're going to be able to force her to be in a place that's too advanced for her.
Right. And at least right now, it may be different down the road if she continues to do work. But at least right now, probably any critique that you offer her, any observation that you offer her is going to hit that wound of abuse, that emotional abuse that she suffered from her family, that she will see it and she will react as, in the same way that she reacted to her abuse. And so,
she believes she's worthless, not worthy, all of those things. So any criticism, she's very reactive because you're just reinforcing everything she was taught growing up.
Exactly. Yeah, and so she can do work where she's understanding her value, her worth as a child of God, as his creation, but she's got to do that work before she can then receive that critique, that observation as, oh, this is helping me grow, rather than this is reinforcing that I'm worthless.
Right, and so every time she gets critiqued and she can't handle that, and so she gets reactive, she's getting dysregulated, and she's probably not in her adult self. Right? She's going back to the child. So part of this is for her to be able to hold on to her adult self and to have a sense of her own self.
Right. Because at, you know, 13, 12, 13, whatever, you know, emotional abuse started happening. And what does the teenager do? Runs to their room and slams the door as a way to protect themselves. Now in adulthood, emotionally and relationally, she's doing that same thing or potentially doing that same thing because she's still believing that this is a threat that she has to protect herself from rather than a, you know, a critique that she could grow from.
Right. And so in some ways, it's kind of the opposite. She needs some more healthy narcissism that we all get at 3 years old when we say, look at me, mommy, look at me, so that she has a better, a stronger sense of herself so that then she doesn't have to do these covert ways.
Healthy narcissism. I don't think I'd ever heard that term before.
So the continuum, we actually all, if you have zero narcissism, something's wrong with you. You don't have much of a personality. So we need a little bit of narcissism, but we all kind of call it self-esteem or some self-worth.
Got it.
So that's, so the little kids like, mommy, mommy, watch me do it. I can do it. And we reinforce it. Yes, you can. Look at, you're such a big boy. Right?
Yeah.
So those are the things we do. And then that, you know, gets integrated. So
that's the title of Jill's next book, Healthy Narcissism.
But that's like for a 3 year old kid. So how does it work for a grown adult?
Well, I know. So to be able to give some credit, right? Like maybe I am worthy. Maybe my parents didn't know what they were talking about. Maybe people do value me. Maybe.
And to accept compliments and praise from others and not shoot it down. No, I'm, you know, I just got lucky or whatever. But no, thank you for that. That was very kind of you to say, right?
So, Joe, you also may need to like front load things because letting her know, I'm not trying to be critical of you. I see, you know, here's the good things I see about you. But have you ever thought about this?
Yeah.
Have you ever looked at something from this way? And I'm just telling you these things because I care about you and want to support you. So you have to kind of sandwich things in to make it more palatable.
We're going to send you a copy of How You Think Determines the Course of Your Life. It'll be a good book for you to read and also for your girlfriend. Thank you so much for calling in today to New Life Live. Charles in Casa Grande, Arizona, listening on Sirius XM channel 131. It's just about time for our break, so we just wanted to say hello. How are you, Charles?
Doing well, thank you.
Good. So we're coming up to our break. We will continue. We'll have our full conversation with you when we come back. But what is your main question for us so that Dr. Jill Hubbard and J.J. West can get an idea of what's going on?
Well, I need some advice on how to do an intervention. From our conversation, you'll probably ought to tell that I have been involved in one before, but this one is different and very difficult. So I need some help on trying to get around some of the obstacles.
Got it. Okay, so we will definitely come back to you, Charles, in just a moment here on New Life Live. And J.J. West and Dr. Jill Hubbard will take some notes on what you have to say. You called the right place, that is for sure. We are New Life Live. If you've never heard of us before, we're not brand new. We've been here for almost 40 years. You can find out all about us at newlife.com. We'll be right back.
Hello, everybody. It's Becky Brown, and I'm coming to you with an urgent need. There are many people that are in difficult relationships, difficult places in their lives.
How do I navigate through that and not to hurt my son?
We had some generous friends of New Life that started a matching gift, and every gift will be doubled up to $475,000. The matching window closes December 31st, so don't wait. Every moment matters in recovery, healing, and restoration.
I do a lot of work in my local church, and so just being able to hear y'all work through some of these situations really helps me to have some insight on how to help others.
Make your gift today by going to newlife.com, click on donate, or text the word match to 28950. You can also call us 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Together, we will bring hope and help to so many more people. And I want to say thank you in advance. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or you can text the word MATCH to 28950.
I was sort of vaguely familiar that the 12 steps had some origination in the Bible. I found Life Recovery. And one of the things I liked so much was that it had such a broad appeal. It wasn't limited to just alcohol or drugs, that it was addressing a wide range of problems.
At New Life, we believe everyone can benefit from a life recovery experience. There are life recovery groups all over the country. They take place online, in conference calls, and in person. And if there isn't one in your area, we can help you start one. We have startup materials, leaders' guides, CDs, Bibles, and more, all with discounts available for groups. Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask for Terry Ward. The 12 steps have long been a great help to people in recovery because much of the 12 steps' power comes from the fact that they capture principles clearly revealed in the Bible.
The 12 steps is really a pattern for all of us as Christians.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
And let's go back to Charles in Arizona. You still with us, Charles?
I am.
All right. Thanks for hanging through the break there. So what questions do you have for Charles, guys? Jill, you want to go first?
Oh, well, I thought, Charles, you were going to tell us a little bit more.
Right.
Because you're wanting information.
Yeah, I don't think
on,
we have. We
yeah,
don't have the
we
story
don't have
yet.
The question yet.
Good point.
Exactly. Okay. So my situation, I've become involved in, and it's been ongoing for about 5 years now, and truthfully, for longer than that, for probably 20. But recently, 5 years has been where I'm going to concentrate now. I have a daughter that's doing drugs and complicating her life seriously. She can't maintain a residence. She's constantly calling me for money. And the last thing I did was I gave her some money to get an apartment. And this guy she's interested in, this guy really needs mental health counseling himself. I mean, he's just really out there. Stole the money from her, so then I had to give her some more money to get the apartment. She got the apartment. She was starting, looked like she was going to go forward and kind of do things right, but she allowed him back in because he has nowhere to live, so he follows her around and depends on her, you know. And so anyways, with that gentleman getting involved in the situation, the drug use got worse. Now she's going to be homeless again. And I would really like to see her enter a facility in Casa Grande that allows them to have their children with them in this rehab place. And it's faith-based. And also, they could keep their children with them while they're there.
That's great.
And, yeah, it's like I think one of only two in the whole nation. So, I mean, it's really wonderful that that's available. But I can't seem to get her to go there. I told her about a month ago when I knew she was going to lose residence that, look, I'm not going to pay for another apartment. You need to go get help, and I want you to go to this place. And she decided she would kind of sidestep the situation and go to a domestic violence shelter. Well, she took the steps to go get, you know, the place set up where she could enter into the place. And then she took stuff over there, but she would leave and not come back at night. She would go back to her apartment because she didn't have a court order yet that she had to leave. So she would go back there and do whatever she needed to do or wanted
to
do.
So, Charles, she's being an addict, right?
She's what?
She's being an addict.
Yes, she is.
Yes.
And you said she has a child.
Correct.
Where is that child?
With her.
And how old is that child?
She'll be two soon.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really bad.
Ooh.
Right.
I think so the baby is probably damaged somehow already because the guy I was telling you about is really a loose screw. I mean, last time I saw my daughter, she had a black eye.
So, okay. So what about Child Protective Services?
Right. I was just about to say, it's if she doesn't go into this treatment facility that allows her to keep her kid with her, she's probably going to lose her child to the state.
Well, I would think that would be coming at some point.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But you can call anonymously.
I don't want that to happen.
No, I know, but you need to protect that child.
Yeah.
If he's laying hands on her and she's using drugs, she's not really fit to care for her child, for a two-year-old.
Yeah, I know. And I see the baby, and the baby looks fine as far as her appearance. You know, she's dressed nice, her hair's done. She's taking care of the baby that way. Mm-hmm. But the mental health issue, because I just recently read some things about parents that argue in front of their children or fight like that. It really damages the child's brain. And so I'm very concerned about that, you know. And then I'm actually concerned about my daughter's safety with this guy because my wife and I had called the authorities and the police went over there, but they wouldn't go in the apartment to check on her safety.
Yeah.
You know, to see if she was even alive. Like, I don't know what this guy will do, you know? Mm-hmm. So, now my daughter, they told her to leave the apartment. And so she came over today with the rest of some of her belongings and is at my house right now with my wife.
Okay.
And she's stating that her mom is going to get her room at the Siegel Suites, which is like, you know, I don't know what to tell you. It's like where a lot of people go that have nowhere else to go, and the state will help them. Maybe Arizona's not state doesn't really help you a lot. So she's leaning on her mom to pay for this, so she can
so
go
she's
there.
Got so another like, source that will delay her getting
right.
help.
Exactly,
is what you're
right.
saying, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
So your
yep.
wife is not right. her mom. But any chance, can you have your grandchild visit or offer to babysit or, you know, have her in your guys' care as much as possible?
Well, we could do that. Right now, I had my middle daughter pass away from fentanyl use.
Oh my goodness.
So I have her grandson and
her grandson?
I have her grandson.
You have your grandson. Yeah. Okay.
And how old is
right,
he?
Right. So he's 10 now.
Okay.
Okay.
And she passed away when he was about 2.5.
Wow.
So it's hard for me to like I don't know, I'm having challenges feeling like I'm an enabler. and then I don't want to lose another child.
Right.
And my daughter, the one that we're talking about, already lost three of my grandchildren.
Oh, my goodness. All right, we've got to take a break, Charles. Stay on the phone, and we'll continue to talk to you and help you with your situation right now here on New Life Live. Thanks for calling in today, Charles.
My husband addicted to pornography for the majority of our marriage. I was very isolated and didn't really know which way to turn.
If you've been affected by betrayal, an emotional or physical affair, or pornography, the Restore Intensive will equip you with support and tools to help you through.
I went to the Restore Conference, which seemed to be the missing puzzle piece where I was able to find my voice.
When two people want to do their part, we can be restored. But if they don't, we are not stuck because someone else made a decision. God lets us weigh in on how we want to walk out our lives.
The Restore Intensive is coming to Dallas, Texas, March 6th to the 8th. Register online at newlife.com or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Enter the code NLL for a discount.
I'm navigating my world now. It feels so wonderful.
I had a great experience at Restore.
1-800-NEW-LIFE and the discount code NLL. Do you need help for life's hard situations?
My husband recently said he wanted a divorce.
I'm confused on what I should do.
I have an eating disorder.
New Life Live answers your questions on relationships, grief, addiction, trauma, anxiety, and much more, all from a biblical perspective with our panel of professional counselors and psychologists.
I learn a lot from your program.
You help so many people.
I appreciate your ministry.
Whether you listen or watch, there are so many ways to connect with us to ask our panel of counselors a question. Call us Monday through Wednesday at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific at 1-800-229-3000 to ask your question on New Life Live. Or go to newlife.com/radio for other ways to get your question answered.
I'm trying to find help.
I just want to know how to set boundaries.
If it's a sin, what am I supposed to do?
Need a therapist or a coach, a resource or an intensive? Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
And back to Charles in Casa Grande, Arizona, listening on Sirius XM channel 131. You still with us, Charles?
I am.
Yeah. So there's a lot to your story. And so you're watching, you've been watching the 10-year-old grandson for like seven and a half years, right?
Yeah.
Yes, and I'm very fortunate for that. He's a blessing. He's a wonderful little guy. But the thing is, see, I'm familiar with intervention because I did one on my daughter that passed away. But see, she took my advice when she was down and out. I mean, don't get me wrong, she didn't have no really choice. And she went into that place. That's why I'm familiar with it. And, you know, she grew so much when she was in there. It was amazing. I want to say in you know, kind of retrospect that when she passed away, when they did the autopsy, she didn't have any marijuana in her. She didn't have no alcohol. She didn't have no nicotine. The only thing she had in her was the fentanyl. And it was from talking to people, it was the second time she ever did it. And she didn't know what was going to happen.
Wow.
Yeah, it's super dangerous. Yeah. Charles, is the daughter who's currently using and you're trying to get help for, is she the biological sister of the daughter that passed away?
Correct.
Okay. Do you know if she ever shared with her experience at this treatment center?
No, because the daughter that we're talking about right now was in prison because one of the guys that she picks these men that are abusive, right? So her daughter, the other baby, got hurt and was placed into foster care.
Protective services.
And so and then my daughter, she lied to the police, and then it was found out she was lying. And then so they charged her with hurting the baby instead of him.
Oh, wow.
And she ended up in prison for 5 years.
Well, it becomes neglect, right? And I'm wondering if that can be any leverage for you that you don't want to see happen to this baby, right?
Well, definitely.
That's the path she's on.
And maybe how you best could help, if you're willing, Charles, is to take on another grandchild.
Yeah, and that would be difficult at this time. I got a divorce about 10 years ago, and I remarried about 4 years ago. And so my wife, she retired about a year ago, and I'm getting ready to retire. And I know she, I mean, she loves children. She's a Christian woman and all this. But, you know, she's like, you know, we're at the end of, like, end of life situations. And so it's going to be very difficult even getting Alec, who's my grandson, through college and out on his own, you know?
Yeah, no, so, gotcha.
So taking on another baby would be really, really,
really
difficult.
Hard.
And so I don't really know what to do, you know?
Yeah. Well, Charles, it sounds like you've had experience and that actually it worked well for your middle daughter. And I hate those stories where people come through treatment and then, you know, something happens and then they don't make it. But it did work for her. So, and you did do an intervention. So you're asking us about that, but I think it sounds like this place that you've had relationship with, that they have some resources or referrals for you in terms of a person who could help you with that.
Well, yeah, that was my next step, was to call them and say, okay, well, what do you recommend that we do here? How could you help me, you know, position, get myself positioned to get her over here? Because I think I see my daughter, like, thinking, yeah, my dad is probably right, but she's avoiding it every aspect that she can.
Of course. And so,
I got lost, you know?
Yeah. But
I didn't know what to do.
I would call them and I would talk to them and get their input, because that's what they do every day, right? And I would be telling your daughter, like, I like that idea. You know, when the handouts run out, then what, sweetheart? You know?
Right.
And I'm
eventually
here,
go ahead.
Right. I'm here for you when you're ready for help. Right. And I want to encourage you towards that, because you know how this plays out. And I would even use, you know, I'm scared to death because of your sister. I can't lose another daughter. Right. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you have to just keep lovingly but consistently talking to her and putting it on her, not like you're trying to make her do something. But where do you see this going, sweetheart? Where, you know, and here you're with another abusive guy. Where do you see that going? We've seen where it's gone in the past. And be able to kind of talk, but not being judgmental, just naming what is true. Mm-hmm. And getting her to talk about it. In the meantime.
Right. Because eventually, you know, your ex-wife, her biological mother, you know, her generosity is going to run out too. Like, it's not a never-ending source. And so for you to help your daughter see, okay, so, yeah, this is a stopgap, but it's not a permanent solution. Mm-hmm. And so what's going to happen next week, next month, or 2 years from now, whatever it is, that money runs out and this, now you can't afford to stay in this place, what's the next step? Because the path you're on is going to lead to you losing another child.
Right.
And possibly going back to jail and possibly dying.
Mm-hmm.
Charles, we're going to send you a copy of Doing Life with Your Adult Children from the newlife.com store. Thank you so much for calling in today to New Life Live. And now let's go to Sarah in San Jose, who is listening on newlife.com. Hey there, Sarah. Thanks for calling in today.
Well, thank you so much for taking my call. I get so much good advice from you guys. But my question today is I have two adult daughters. One of them has, and they're both married, one of them has an 8-year-old. And I'd say she's a believer, but she's not, she and her husband don't go to church. They're not really doing anything like that. And so this 8-year-old has never been to church. And so I want to talk to her about that. They provide him with everything he needs, but they're not telling him about the Lord. And my daughter and I have a really good relationship, but I really have to be careful about, you know, what I say. And I don't want to appear to be judgmental. I don't want to create a problem between us.
Hmm.
Right.
JJ, what would you say to Sarah?
Yeah, so Sarah, you're right on the right track, which is you start with a conversation with your daughter. You don't start with the conversation with your grandchild. You start with the conversation mm-hmm. with your daughter to say, hey, here are my concerns, right. or here's what I'd like to do. What are your thoughts? How would that land for you? I know that, you know, probably I'm guessing you raised her going to church. Yes.
Yes.
Okay. So you could say, we raised you going to church. I know that you and your husband have not been doing that. Would you be okay with me talking to your son? It sounds like you said her son. Would you be okay mm-hmm. with me talking to your son about the Lord? And would you be okay with, if they live close enough, with me taking them to church or something along those lines, right? But getting her buy-in there beforehand, because if you do it, you know, secretly, mm-hmm. surreptitiously, yeah. that's not going to go well, right?
And you already know that. I definitely want to talk to her about it.
Yeah, yeah. And then trust that even if she says no, like she's not comfortable with that, she doesn't want that, she wants to let her children make a decision all by themselves and not be influenced mm-hmm. or whatever she happens to say, you know, for you, Sarah, to know, well, when he's an adult, then of course you have all the freedom in the world to talk to him. And that, you know, right. and praying that God mm-hmm. would intervene even against her, you know, your daughter, his parents' wishes, his parents' intentions. God can supersede all of that, right? And even if we're right. raised in a non-Christian home, we can still come to know the Lord, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. true. But Sarah, it sounds like you have a sense that this is kind of a, like, off-limits topic. Like, you raised her Christian, and they don't go to church, mm-hmm. but why does it feel like you have to be so careful? What worries you?
Because she's a very determined person, mm-hmm. and she's raising him very intentionally. It's not that she's intentionally, you know, doesn't want him to know about the Lord, but she's not doing anything to introduce him to him. And when she was in junior high, she had a bad experience at a church we were going to. So that mm-hmm. kind of turned her off church. And so I think that's kind of, okay. you know, what goes back to. And mm-hmm. so...
Does she still have a personal active relationship with God? Does she read scripture, pray, worship on her own?
I think she prays, and she asked me to pray.
Okay.
But, you know, I wouldn't say she worships, and I don't know how personal. It's not a daily thing.
Okay.
So there's that ugly topic of church hurt again
yeah.
when something happens, and now years from now.
And we judge God based yeah. on his people,
yeah.
his imperfect
yeah.
people.
Yeah. We'll continue our conversation with Sarah when we come back from the break, and if you guys listening can be in prayer for Sarah and her daughter and her 8-year-old grandson, that there will be some kind of breakthrough where Sarah is able to speak with her young grandson about the Lord. We'll be back on New Life Live.
We've been married 33 years. We attended the Intimacy and Marriage Workshop. Even though we've read books or attended a few other marriage weekends, this was certainly different and a lot more intensive than initially that we thought.
When you come to Intimacy and Marriage, you're going to be immersed into a 3-day process.
Was not really sure exactly what to expect, but the idea of learning to really understand intimacy was intriguing. We had been in the same patterns of struggle over and over again.
If you've thought, I don't think we can ever change, we're just in this rut and we can't get out, the Intimacy and Marriage Workshop can help you get out of the rut.
The Intimacy and Marriage Weekend is February 13th to the 15th in Orange County, California. Register online at newlife.com or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and use the code NLL for a discount. 1-800-639-5433.
I would highly recommend it.
For over 35 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
Your ministry has saved my life.
If you struggle with emotional hurt, family or marriage problems, the pit of depression, or the pain of addiction, we can help.
I'm down 100 pounds now from what I was.
I found a counselor through New Life Ministries, and it's just been outstanding.
Our treatment programs provide clinically appropriate solutions from licensed professionals, all in a biblical framework.
I have had problems with alcohol. I think God has ordained this place to be
is.
You don't have to be a prisoner of your pain. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
She tells me that I'm a new man and I feel like a new man.
It worked for me and it can work for them too.
This time it is different.
If you're ready to take the first steps toward genuine spiritual and emotional healing, call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. God can open the door for a better tomorrow.
To get someone that's competent, that's good at what they do, it's been like day and night compared to what I've had before.
Call 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Back to Sarah in San Jose. So how close do you live to your grandson and your daughter, Sarah?
It's about an hour and a half flight.
Oh, okay. Flight. Okay.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
And okay. What are your plans for the Christmas holiday? You guys going to get together?
No, we won't be seeing them for okay. Christmas.
Hmm. Okay.
Well, Sarah, I thought it was encouraging, well, we all did, that your daughter would ask you to pray about things. So mm-hmm. it's not, she's not completely closed to the Lord, and it does sound like it is more the church hurt. So sometimes I think as parents, and especially when you try to raise your kids as Christians, and they kind of don't exactly follow our path, it's really hard. And so sometimes we use like church involvement is evidence that they're on the right path. But your daughter's not there right now. So mm-hmm. I think, though, she's not opposed to God or even Jesus. So, like, have you bought your grandson a children's Bible? Mm-hmm. Are there, you know, the Christmas story books that you mm-hmm. could share with him? If you were out visiting, you know, I mean, I'm sorry you're not going for the holidays, but like if there was, you know, churches put on it like a musical or something that you could take mm-hmm. your son to or your grandson to, you know, starting with just introducing him to God in small children's ways mm-hmm. and making that distinction that Jesus is different than church. And then maybe yes. being able to work in, you know, she had church hurt, but making it, it's not God hurt, it's church hurt. Now, maybe she's equating that the same, but she is praying. And so focusing on the positive aspects of what you're seeing in her. Oh, sweetheart, I'm so glad you asked me to pray about that. Yeah, I definitely will. And meet her where she's at without her sensing any judgment from you. That will do more to bring her along, you know, because you're not the mom that's saying, oh, you're not a good enough Christian. You haven't been in church lately. And that it's okay. And just introducing, like, slowly this idea of we talk about God and there's lots of stories about the Bible and we pray to Jesus, you know, and does she pray with her son at night? And you kind of have to ask that in a non-judgmental way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, grandson praying about? Or,
part of the way that we differentiate the church hurt from the God hurt is by honestly acknowledging the church hurt.
Yes.
Like offering empathy for her. Like, I know that you were hurt by this experience. You know, maybe even as a parent to say, I'm so sorry that that happened. And maybe even a decision we made to go to that church led to you being hurt. I'm so sorry that that happened. I'm so sorry. Like, we wish we could go back and change that. We can't. And as painful as that was to experience that, to then talk about how do we differentiate between the pain that people who call themselves believers cause versus what's my relationship with God like? How does he interact with me, right? And, so it starts with just being open and honest about the hurt, not trying to sugarcoat it or hide it or let's just talk about something else.
And we've done a little bit about, we've done that a little bit when she first told me about it, because I wasn't aware of it at the time. And, but yeah, I could bring it up again, or when it comes up, I could again talk about that, that how sorry we are that that was her experience there.
Yeah. And how sad you are that, you know, God's people don't always represent him well.
Yeah. Happens too often. We hear it all the time. Sarah, thanks for calling in today. We're going to send you a copy of Doing Life with Your Adult Children from the newlife.com store. I'm Brian Perez here with Dr. Jill Hubbard and JJ West. JJ is one of the presenters at our Intimacy in Marriage Weekend. It's where couples experience serious breakthroughs and growth. You and all the other married and engaged couples in attendance will learn information on a group of as a group on topics like attachment styles, challenges to sexual intimacy, effects of family origin and trauma on your intimacy, and so much more. Then you'll apply the information in therapist-led process groups. The next workshop is happening February 13th in Orange County, California. That's right, Valentine's Day weekend. You can get all the details and register at newlife.com. JJ West, is this only for couples who are struggling with their relationship?
No, but it is definitely for couples who are struggling with their relationship. But it's also for couples who want to take that next step in intimacy, want to understand why we seem to follow similar patterns over and over and we get stuck in them, but we'd like to do better, right? It's for all those couples, and it's even for couples who feel like, you know what, we're doing well. Our relationship is good, and yet we want to be closer. We want to have a higher level of intimacy, and we especially want to work on our communication. One of the things that we do at the workshop is to go through this thing called the comfort circle, which is a really effective, active listening plan that allows couples to get underneath the surface topic and go into the deeper issues that are fueling some of our conflict.
I would imagine that some of these conversations in the comfort circle, that might be like the first conversation a couple has had, maybe in that deep of a level, or even, you know, because sometimes it's just the, you know, the arms crossed and the, well, you started it, or, you know.
Right.
Yeah. Right. The structure really does slow it down, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I think.
Yeah. So, yeah, go ahead.
No, just that really helps.
Yeah. So many couples, I think what ends up happening is, you know, they're so used to conversations being, I'm just waiting for my turn to speak. I'm not actually listening to you. Mm-hmm. And I already know what you're going to say anyway, so I don't need to listen to you. Mm-hmm. And so the comfort circle actually slows things down enough for me to actively listen. This is what scripture tells us, right? To be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Part of being quick to listen is not just, hey, talk quickly so I can listen quickly. Part of what being quick to listen is by me paying attention to not only what you're saying, but what you mean by what you're saying, and what's the backstory that fuels the emotion behind what you're saying. That's what it means to be quick to listen, and to then ask really good, digging in questions that help you to communicate more effectively. And that's what we teach at the workshop, and it's really a wonderful, wonderful tool.
And don't we also allow now engaged couples
to
participate?
Yes.
So
yes, we do.
I think that would be so wonderful.
Yep.
Yeah.
Indeed.
Yeah.
If anybody's getting married this holiday season, send them to the New Life Intensive called Intimacy and Marriage. All the details are at newlife.com, or you can call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We've even got an early bird discount going on for the next few weeks. Again, all the details at newlife.com. We started the program by talking about the goodness of generosity, and right now we are asking you to be generous to New Life Ministries. We got so many people reaching out to us both on and off the air looking for help for the trial they're going through, and we give them that help. And when you give to New Life, you're helping people receive the godly counseling, the spiritual insight, and the resources that they need during their darkest season. Your generosity changes lives. And through the end of the year, your gift goes twice as far because of a $475,000 matching gift. So if you can give $50, it becomes $100. $100 becomes $200, and so on and so forth. You can give online at newlife.com/match, or you can call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or text the word MATCH, M-A-T-C-H, to 28950. And may God bless you doubly as you doubly bless hurting people and families all over the world.
Okay, but if you can't give, although we want you to give, in addition to that, pray for us.
Oh, for sure.
We need your
prayers.
Yes, right?
Yes, for sure.
Yes, indeed.
Yes, and we always ask you to pray for the people who call into the radio program. You hear their hurt, you hear their tears, so keep them in prayer as well. And if you need prayer, you can reach out to us on our website, newlife.com. God bless you guys. We will talk to you tomorrow here on New Life Live. For Dr. Jill Hubbard and J.J. West, I'm Brian Perez. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. The preceding program was pre-recorded.